Before we get started with this episode of Two Guys on Your Head, I wanted to let you know about another great podcast to check out. It's from KUTX. It's called This Song. It's with Elizabeth McQueen. And she interviews artists about songs that change their life and influence their music. Check it out now at KUTX.org or in iTunes.
Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory isn't amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
You don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. The problem is in the moment, it's very hard to recognize what you're not experiencing. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, hearing loss.
One of the things that makes it challenging, first of all, to deal with hearing loss, is that as our hearing is diminishing, we don't really feel anything. I mean, there's no sense of pain or anything else. We can't see anything that's actually happening. And much of that progression takes place without any awareness on the part of the person whose hearing is diminishing.
And right? On top of that, you don't look any different. Which means right. That the people talking to you don't see a sign on your forehead that says, I really can only hear about half of what you're saying. So now somebody says something to you and you hear half of it. You're doing your best to piece together.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say in response? And if you say something wrong or if you don't react immediately in the appropriate way, now they're thinking, what's wrong with this person? And what's wrong with them? Their first thought isn't, he probably didn't hear me.
Right. Exactly. We have to stipulate that there are some people who recognize that they have hearing loss. Others who don't, who are quite annoyed at many times because the people who are conversing with them aren't speaking clearly. When in fact, they're speaking perfectly clearly. They just can't hear them, you know. Yeah. So they're... It affects personal interactions in multiple ways. Then there are other people who actually do know they have a hearing loss, and they're working very hard to try and find some way to compensate for the fact that they can't really understand what's going on.
And of course, part of the problem is so much of effective communication is about timing. It's not just the timing in what you say to somebody else. It's also the reactions you're having.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should be nodding along with people when you understand or looking sympathetic when somebody begins to say something that happened to them that was bad. And what's happening is if you're having trouble understanding what someone else is saying, you're delayed.
Right.
Because it takes you another couple of seconds to figure out what were they saying? Oh, I get it. And by the time you react, it's too late.
Right.
And now the person you're talking to thinks... You don't really care about me at all. Right.
And I think many of us have, many of us who don't have hearing loss, I do have some hearing loss, but people who don't have hearing loss have experienced that feeling a little bit. If you've been in the presence of speakers of another language that you don't understand, and you hear a conversation going on, you get a sense of it because of the facial expressions and the animation of the people who are speaking and those kinds of things. But you really can't pick out any of the particulars of what's being said. Hearing loss is in many ways just like that. Except the difference is people are speaking a language that you're supposed to be able to understand. And now you don't understand it, where at one time you did. So, I mean, people find ways of accommodating that. But one of the unfortunate ways that sometimes people accommodate it is they withdraw, yeah, even in the presence of other people, right? I mean, even there's a conversation going on, there's stuff going on, but I can't really understand what's going on, so I'm just going to choose to minimize my participation. And that's socially troubling, because what used to be an enjoyable activity of conversing with family and friends and new acquaintances and that kind of thing, now is something that's no longer easy to do, because you're not able to discern exactly what's being said. And as Art said a minute ago, if there's a fear that you might respond in the wrong way, I mean, somebody said something that you would expect one kind of response and you might give a different kind of response, the choice is just, well, I'm not going to respond. Or I'm going to give some generic head nod that could be a response to almost anything.
Yeah. And then this gets particularly difficult in settings in which it's hard to hear when you have hearing loss, like crowded restaurants and things like that, which can be difficult for almost anybody, but can be particularly difficult for people who have some amount of hearing loss. And so now they begin to shy away from those kinds of social situations. And of course, you know, one of the things about friendships and family relationships is that they the the energy from them comes from repeated interaction, right? I mean, if you think about the closest friends you have in your life, they're people where you can share jokes that you know, continue over time, and where you're keeping track of their life story. As you begin to withdraw from those relationships because the conversations themselves are difficult, you begin to lose some of that synchronization with your friends and family. And that actually creates a greater feeling of isolation, mm-hmm. which can then affect mood, for example, because it's one of the best ways to snap yourself out of a lousy mood is to hang out with somebody else, particularly somebody else who's kind of upbeat. And so those social interactions can be a really important part of helping people to regulate their mood. As you begin to withdraw from those kinds of conversations because you feel like you're not hearing, well, now you're also going to be subject to just internally the mood states you have, which can make it very difficult then to snap out of a bad mood if you're in one.
Yeah. And I think it's important to emphasize, I mean, we were joking about this before, but I think it's important to emphasize that one of the challenges of hearing loss is that the extent of it may not be known to the individual with hearing loss. And it may not be known to that person's family and friends and acquaintances. So everybody's operating under one set of assumptions that I say something and you understand perfectly well what I said, and now your response should be gauged with that supposition in mind, when in fact that's not what's happening, right? And that communication difficulty leads to all kinds of negative impacts on relationships and interactions and those kinds of things, unless everybody acknowledges, okay, there's a hearing loss here, and there are certain things that we can do to accommodate that. And one of them is being in places where when you're having a conversation with somebody, you can see their face and they can see your face, because you do pick up a lot of what people are saying from watching their mouths move. And also being in places that are relatively quiet when you're trying to have a conversation. Many people are very reticent about getting assistive devices because it sort of says out loud, I know that I'm aging. I mean, glasses are one thing. Hearing aids, even though they become much more sophisticated and much tinier and they work much better and all that kind of thing, there's something about having a hearing aid that makes you say, my God, you know, I'm losing my hearing.
But if hearing aids actually worked better,
yeah,
I think there'd be less of a stigma attached. Because people get bifocals. The thing with hearing aids is, for the most part, a lot of what they do is just jack up the volume of what you're hearing and across the board. And so it doesn't work well with your mechanisms of auditory attention.
Next week, we'll talk about how to ward off procrastination with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.